I do have a message I'm going to share with you. Another one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This one's about receiving, but it's good too. Amen. About receiving. You know, we need to learn about the ways of the kingdom, the ways of the Spirit. And you know, before God does a thing, He begins to speak about it. We call it prophecy. God begins to speak a prophetic word. If you look in the Old Testament throughout the books, starting with Genesis all the way through, God spoke a word concerning His divine plan. Amen? He spoke about it as early as Genesis chapter 3, and consequently through the patriarchs, through Moses, through the prophets He raised up, all the way down, He spoke about the coming of the Messiah Jesus and what He would do to redeem mankind. Amen? And this is a principle that we need to understand, is that God will, as God is preparing to do something, planning to do something, He will first begin to speak about it. This is why the Bible says, do not despise prophecies. Are you listening? In another place, He said to Timothy, warfare, fight a good warfare through the prophecies that have gone before upon you. And God has been speaking prophetically to this body of believers, and we need to have ears to hear and understand what that means and how we should respond. Boy, it's quiet in here. Everybody on pins and needles, are you? Turn to Acts chapter 3 to begin with, if you have your Bibles. And I want to share, I got a few minutes here, I want to share with you about it. You know, one of the words God spoke to us, the reason we have this banner up here at the beginning of the year, one of the prophetic words was about increase. Amen. And subsequently, we've been hearing different prophetic words that, from people outside this church that have no personal insight or understanding about what's going on in any shape, form, or fashion. And what the prophetic word is speaking about is the same thing. A time of overflow, a time of harvest, a time of the supernatural. The things we've been praying for, God has been speaking. I understand at the ladies' meeting, the last ladies' meeting I had, that whoever was the lady that was ministering there, she had a prophetic word that also was in harmony with it. So what do we do when God begins to speak a word? Remember what I said about the 500? Who heard what Jesus said on the Mount of Olivet? 120 obviously understood what to do. 380 did not. I don't think it was because they were more sincere Christians or this or that. Maybe it's just that they understood what to do with the words Jesus spoke and the plan that was coming. Maybe they were more in tune and understood what they should do. Remember what it said about the sons of Issachar? Everybody remember that? Said that, talked about the sons of Issachar, that they were sensitive or discerning concerning the times and of the Lord, and knew what Israel should do. Mm-hmm. Well, those are good people to have with you. And you know, I believe that we who have the Spirit of God, that there is also that possibility, and I believe even God's desire that He wants us to be sensitive to what He's about to do and understand, like the sons of Issachar in their generation, what are we supposed to do? Do we sit like a bump on a log and say, okay, God said it, go ahead and do it? Is that all there is to it, or is there more to that? So we're going to look at a few things real quickly here. Acts 3:19. Acts 3:19, says, Peter's speaking here, and he said, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Times of refreshing, it literally means there, the recovery of breath. Recovery of breath. Anybody ever felt out of breath? Literally and emotionally and in other ways, metaphorically speaking, you ever felt like you were out of breath? Yes. That you're so harried and pushed and hurried and pulled and tugged at, and you know you got more to do than you can fit on your to-do list? Mm-hmm. He said there are times of refreshing that God is wanting to send so that we can catch our breath. You know, runners, long-distance runners, call this thing hitting the wall. Anybody in here a long-distance runner or ever been one? You know what I'm talking about? That's what they call it. You know, the marathon runners and people like that. They talk about there's a place about halfway through or so where they talk about where it's the runners call it hitting the wall, where you're like, buddy, we got to lay down right here or I'm going to croak. I can't go any further. They say your body and everything about it says we cannot go anymore. I have no more strength. And they say at that point you have to do what? Press through the wall. You press through it, and something happens. Something almost supernatural in their body and their physiology happens when they are willing to do that. And all of a sudden, the hormones are released and the endorphins and all of that begins to release. And all of a sudden, they get what they call a second breath. Second wind. Oh, and all of a sudden, they get strength. Come on. This is what I'm talking about. Recovering of breath. What is God saying to the church? He said it's time for recovering of the breath. Because many of us are right at that point where we feel like we've hit the wall. I've hit the wall with my faith. I've hit the wall with my prayers. I've hit the wall with my finances. I've hit the wall wherever it is. I just... Don't ask me for one more thing, Lord. Oh God, I hope the pastor don't start nothing new. We can't do one more thing. I can't give one more. Can I get a witness? See, aren't you glad I'm gonna give my message today? Because it's where the church is at. I believe it. And listen, there's no condemnation there. You know what that means? You're in the race. You ought to congratulate yourself. You're in the race. You can't hit the wall unless you're in the race. You got to be in the race to hit the wall. That means you're in it. You're involved. Your faith's hooked up. You're doing something. So the first thing is, if you feel like you hit the wall, don't be discouraged. You be encouraged. You're in the race. I salute you. Glory to God. You're in it. You're accounted for. You showed up. You're not sitting on the sidelines. Amen. Teddy Roosevelt. Anybody remember who Teddy Roosevelt was? He was the president way back at the turn of the previous century, in the early 1900s. He said this. I can't quote it exactly, but it's a great quote. But I'll get the gist of it here. He said, "It's not the critic who stands back and points out how the person failed or have fallen." Who didn't measure up, who didn't quite make it. He said, it's not the critic. He said, that's not who matters. He said, but it's the person who's actually in the race, who made the decision, who falls but gets up and falls and gets up. And though he runs, and it doesn't look like he runs in a straight line, he may stagger at times, but he's in the race. Yeah. He's running. He's got a goal. He's involved. All the critics can tell you where you can do better. Uh-huh. Amen. Yesterday in all those football games, I guarantee you, people are looking at their team. Their favorite team didn't do good. I guarantee you, they out-coached the coach. They out-quarterback the quarterback. They outran the running back. Come on. Because we just knew from our couch we could have done it better. Come on. With our chips and salsa. But it's the guy out there getting smacked by that 300-pound lineman. He might have a different viewpoint. Isn't that right? You might have been like I used to be when I played football. My coach said, the problem with you, Braswell, is you run too long in the same place. His quaint way of saying I'm slow. I said, thanks a lot, coach. It's kind of tough when you're slow and small. You got to really want it. But you know, when we're in the race, we feel like that sometimes, don't we? We feel like we've hit the wall. We feel like that 300-pound, not only did he hit me, he fell on me, and he's still there. And so we need what? Times of refreshing from the Lord. And God has promised it. God has promised it. But notice the first thing he said here. He says, repent. What does that mean? That means, you know, a lot of things that can mean, but I think in the essence of it is this, that we have a broken heart of humility before God. Because if you got that, if you need to repent, you will. And if you don't need to repent right at that moment, it doesn't matter. You still got a broken heart. You know what I mean by that? A contrite heart. You know, David said this. He used the term, it's translated, the contrite heart. That word contrite there, I've shared this before, but I'll share it with you. Some of you hadn't heard it. The word contrite there, you know, you ever used like talcum powder or something like that, some kind of powder, you know, that you put on? You know what that's made out of? Contrited rock. Contrited rock. So you, when you're rubbing that powder, you think about that one time, that substance was as hard as a rock. But it was what? Contrited. What did he say? A contrited heart. What? That you're ready? Whatever God said. Yes, Lord, I agree. I agree. That's right. That's right. That's what I need to do. That's not what I need to do. That's what I not just need to stop doing this. Yes, Lord, that's right. Come on. But you pick up a rock, if it's whatever shape it's in, that's it. Try to change it. It's not changeable, is it? So the first thing, if we're going to receive times of refreshing, we've got to have a heart of humility. A heart that's contrited, a heart that says, God, I know that I am sensing that this is a time when you want to send refreshing. I want to regain my breath. I want to regain it. I want to press through that wall that says this is it. This you can't do it. I know what God has said, and I know what the preacher said, but it's too hard. It's too difficult. That's for that church over there. That's for that believer over there. That's for those people over there. But I got good news for you. It's for you. It's for you. If you will just open your heart and say, God, whatever you say, I will do it. Whatever you want to do in my life, I am willing. Lord, I count this life to be as nothing compared to the life you have for me. Listen. Whatever you give up for God, listen, God will give you back so much more. That you will look back and you will say, you know what? That was nothing. That was nothing. Listen to the Apostle Paul. He was shipwrecked, stoned, whipped, put in prison, run out of town, left for dead, let down the rope over the wall, all of these things. And here's what he said. He said, I think that my light afflictions are as nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed. Not only in the future, but the glory to be revealed to our generation. Because there are hurting and broken people. Listen, you're not just running the race for your own self-aggrandizement, just so you can be blessed, so that you can have victory. Yes, God wants you to be blessed and have victory, but I want to tell you what, I'm running the race, you're running the race, I'm going to push through that wall for those out there who haven't heard, for those out there who are in darkness, for those out there who are bound and broken. That's why I'm not in the race to get more toys. I'm satisfied right now with the toys I got. Lord, if I can sit down now, I'm toy happy. It don't take much for me to be happy. Come on, I'm great. I can only drive one car at a time. Come on. I can't drive 10 cars. I don't need 10 cars. Come on. It's not about me getting more toys. What is it about? It's about us reaching this generation that we're in. They're perishing. They're dying. They're hurting. They're broken. Someone has to be equipped to go tell them. Turn, if you will, real quickly to Genesis 26. It is 2 minutes after 12. How many of you give me just a few more minutes? If you have to leave or you have to do something, we understand. Genesis 26. But I believe this is a word for us, for the body of Christ, and I know for us here. Genesis 26, we're talking about, really, I guess the title is Preparing for the Outpouring. preparing for the increase, preparing for the word God has spoken to us.
Yes,
now listen, when God, when this refreshing, when this outpouring comes, it's not going to be something new. Amen. It's not going to be something new that's never happened in the body of Christ before. It's not going to be something new that you don't find in the pages of the Bible. If you get that kind of new, you got it new from the wrong place. But it is going to be fresh. You know, stale bread and fresh bread essentially are the same as far as what they're made from. Isn't that right? In essence, they are the same. But in enjoyment and in eating, there's a big difference. I'd rather have the fresh than the stale and the moldy. Amen? And so I want fresh word, a fresh Holy Ghost move, a fresh demonstration of God. And I believe that every generation needs a fresh move of God for that generation. In Genesis 26, we see Isaac here, and I'm just reading a couple of verses for time's sake, 15. Says, so all the wells that his father, servants, this is Isaac, had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Now I want to stop there a moment. Here is Isaac, the son of promise, whose father, the father of faith, who received the promise of God, that God said, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Isn't that right? He was the father of faith. Abraham dug these wells in his day. And you know, one of the most, if not the most important thing living in that arid part of the world was what? Water. Water. And whoever had a well that was a source of constant life-giving water, they were counted as wealthy and blessed. And so Abraham, by the direction and blessing of God, had dug wells whereby he had sustained all those cattle God gave him. You go and read. He had so much stuff. Remember, they had to part ways because the land couldn't sustain them. Well, he had to water those things, those goats and sheep and what all he had. They had to have water every day. I mean, you know, a few thousand head of livestock could drink some water. Not to mention all the people that had to drink. That I'm telling you what, that was a tremendous provision of God. It was life-giving. And the Bible says that in our own selves that we have a wellspring of water as believers on the inside of us that should be springing up and giving out what? Everlasting life.
Right.
Well, listen, the well didn't have water to satisfy itself. The water in the well was to satisfy others. What is the reason that God put a well in you? It's not just so that you can be blessed and you can have peace and you can have joy and you can skip and hop and you can raise your hands, but so others can drink from it out there and be blessed. But notice what had happened here. He said that the Philistines, a type of the world, had filled in the water with junk, dirt. Hello? And so what happened? What once was a life-giving source now had become nothing. Nothing. And one of the reasons that God sends refreshing back to the church is to make the church relevant again. Because too much stuff, too much cares of the world, too much of all this other junk has gotten in and clogged up our well of water. And people come to take a drink and all they do is get muddy. I'm trying to. Listen. Oh, man. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us. Verse 16. You have become too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Now notice verse 18. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. It's not something new. I'm going to tell you what, God's going to we're going to redig the same wells, the same water, the same wellspring of Jesus Christ welling up within us, going out to bless mankind. And one of the reasons we have to repent is what? That is the redigging of the well. That is getting out all the junk, getting out all the junk. It's not something new. We're going to call them by the same name as we did before. Purity, holiness, grace, power, supernatural, gifts of the Spirit. All the same. Nothing new in that. But that, what? It's been clogged. And what God is speaking to us prophetically is, this is what I'm about to do, and what your part is, listen, redig the well. The water's down there. Isaac didn't go looking for a new spot to dig. He knew there's water right down there. Man, when I was a boy, I drank from that well. I drank from that well. I drank from the power of God. I drank from the grace of God. I drank from the move of God. I've seen it before. I know it's right down there. It's right down there. It's right in here. So he redug them. What is the time to refresh? God's saying, it's time to redig the well. Yeah. All right, I got to hurry along here. Y'all getting anything out of this? Yeah. Turn to Judges real quickly. I'm going to look here. I won't be too much longer, Lord willing. The other reason that God wants to bring a refreshing and an outpouring is found here in Judges 2. Let's look in verse 6. We'll start there. After Joshua dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who had outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land of his inheritance in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. Now notice verse 10. Here's where I want to go. After that whole generation of Joshua and, you know, and those elders, said after that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Every generation must have a fresh outpouring. Because we forget, both in the church and outside the church, we forget who the Lord God really is. We forget the power of God. We forget the presence of God. We forget the purpose of God. We begin to think this life is what it's all about, rather than the eternal life is what it's all about. And so there has to be a refreshing, a moving of God by supernatural power and signs and wonders and miracles to gather in a harvest and to testify to this lost generation that God is God. And you and I are the caretakers of the move of God for our generation. Just like Joshua and Moses were in their generation, like Isaac and Abraham were in their generation, you and I have been born into this generation by the will and foreknowledge of God. He has saved you. He has filled you with His Spirit. He has given you His Word. He has called you for such a time as this. And it's time for us to get on our post and salute and say, Lord God, here am I. I'm ready for duty. Reporting for duty, sir. Because there's a whole generation out there that thinks church is just a joke. It's just another social club. It's just another place to go. They have music, so does Disney. They have the latest technology, so does the club down the street. And there's nothing wrong with using technology. I'm not against all that, but I'm going to tell you what, that's not the essence of what church is about. It's about Him. It's about knowing Him. It's about encountering a living God. Because I'm going to tell you, when you encounter a living God, all your questions go out the door. The only reason you're questioning is you haven't encountered God yet, or at least not enough. You're still living up here in your head. Well, what about and what if? Listen, you get in the presence of God, all your what ifs will go out the door. And God is wanting a move of God that is not just a theological move of God, a doctrine move of God, but a move of God by the Spirit, by the power of God. Amen? All right. One more scripture. And then we're going to pray. Well, I don't want to abuse your time. Deuteronomy 11. We are living in a time, and I, Lord, don't let me overstate this. I don't want to overstate it. But we're living in a time, in my perception, at least here in the United States, where church has lost its way. And I don't want to be one of these narrow-minded. I'm not one of these narrow-minded. We're the only ones that's right, and everybody else is wrong. That's not what I'm saying at all. So don't misunderstand me there. Biggest room in my life is a room for improvement. I'm talking about just as a whole here in America, when I look at it, is that I think we've lost our way because we have substituted things for the move of God. We don't have the move of God. We don't have the power of God. So we've substituted programs and entertainment and all kinds of stuff. Because if you don't have God, what else have you got to offer? You know, we got to out Disney Disney. And those of us churches who don't have the budget to out Disney Disney, tough. Come on. Oh, we want to go over there because I feel like we're just in Disney World when we go there. Deuteronomy 11, verse 10. I want to read you this principle, then we're going to pray. 11:10, Deuteronomy. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt. How many know Egypt's a type of the world? From which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot. In other words, what? What caused their garden to grow when you're in Egypt? Your own sweat and blood. Your own self-effort. Your own hard work. Get the nose to the grindstone. Let's make it happen here, church. Come on. What it was is that they had a treadmill hooked up to a wheel that went around and it pumped the water. And so they'd get out there in the hot sun, you know, walking on this treadmill. Man, ain't it great? Boy, we've been having a lot of rain lately, haven't we? Come on. And we're walking out in the hot sun. That's a type of where the church is right now. We're on the treadmill. We've got a program for everything. Paul, when he was preached in Athens, remember when he preached in Athens? Said he went up on Mars Hill. You know, and that's where all the philosophers were and everything, you know, and they would meet during the day and this one, you know, because that's what the Greeks were into. They're into head games. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And so, you know, this one would explain about his philosophy, and that one would explain about their philosophy, and this one explained about their philosophy. And Paul was going around listening to that, and he said, he got his turn to speak, and he said, I noticed I was walking through the temple here, and you had all these gods, you know, this pantheon of gods and everything. And you know, and just to be sure they didn't miss anybody, they had one up here, and it just said, to the unknown God. Yeah, cover all bases. That's it, man. We ain't going to leave nobody out, man. We're inclusive. You know, so all of them were there. All these, you know, and we get like that to where, you know, everything. We just want to be, you know, we're going to have something for everybody. Something for everybody. Listen, let's get the presence of God back in our lives, back in our church. And I'm going to tell you, He is something for everybody. You need healing, He's healing. You need encouragement, He's encouragement. You need peace, He's peace. He is the I am something for everybody. I am, fill in the blank. I am peace. I am righteousness. I am purity. I am deliverance. I am purpose in life. He said, where it's irrigated by foot, but the land you're crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. Boy, doesn't that just sound good? Oh, don't you want to just drink some of that rain from heaven, church? Boy, I want to drink. My God, I want to drink. drink rain from heaven. It is the land the Lord your God cares for. Grace. He cares for it. He cares for it. The Lord knows who are His. Amen? He knows that. He knows what He wants to do. It is the land the Lord your God cares for the eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. Never a dry season. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today to love the Lord your God, to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then, everybody say then I will send rain. Oh, times of refreshing. Rain on your land. In season, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and oil, grass in the fields for your cattle. You will eat and be satisfied. Well, I don't have time today, but if you went over to Joel 2, you would see a continuation of God talking about this. He said He's going to pour out His Spirit and the threshing floors will be full. New wine, new oil, fresh anointing. And the flow of the Holy Ghost. The threshing floors are the harvest God wants to bring in. The times of refreshing, church. This is what God is speaking about. This is what God is prophesying to us here about at Grace. And here's the thing. If we have ears, let us hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And let us respond accordingly in faith, in humility, in obedience, ready to cooperate with the Spirit of God and move forward into this season of overflow, of increase, of harvest. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you stand on your feet? Thank you for letting me go a little long today. You know, when God calls us, you know, it's still, even after 30 years, it's still a strange thing to me. I can't figure out this call stuff. I wouldn't have called me. Lord, have mercy. You know, I can't preach homiletically, can't do this, can't do that. I'm thinking, dear God. You know, and maybe you have some misgivings about you along similar lines or things, you know. But here's the thing. God, Catherine Kuhlman said this years ago. If you, any of you who know who Catherine Kuhlman was. She said, God does not use just silver vessels. God does not use golden vessels. God uses willing vessels. If notice what he said. He said, if you be willing. If you be willing, if you be willing. What is the first and foremost criteria for God to use us? We be willing. Willing. I'm willing. I'm willing. I believe that's why God called us to begin today in worship up to this altar. Because what? First, we've got to be willing. Because no matter what the Spirit of God's saying, no matter how I preach and urge you with all the passion in my heart, if you are not willing, the difference is between that rock you pick up on the side of the road and that powder that has been contrited. One can be shaped and formed. The other one, what can it be used for? Doorstop, maybe. Today, every one of us, we have to look in our heart and say, God, here am I. Send me. I am willing. Lord, I don't have it figured out. If I was you, I wouldn't send me. But nevertheless, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? And as I pray, would you just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, and then you speak back to God? Not what anything that I've suggested, but in sincerity of your own heart, you speak to God. Father, right now, as we're here in your presence, you see, you know our hearts, you know all things. And God, I do believe, I dare to believe that, Father, you have spoken and are speaking a word over us here at Grace and to the body of Christ at large. And that, Father, we are about to enter a time of refreshing, a time of increase, a time of harvest. But God, something must be prepared. We must, oh God, allow our heart to be contrited before you. We must be willing to dig again the wells, oh God, to dig out the stuff that the world has put in there. The hurts, the wounds, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the cares, the fears, whatever they may be. God, right now, we're going to give them to you. We're going to give them to you. I want you to just give those things to God right now. Whatever's in your well, whatever's been stopping up your well, just give it to him right now. You feel like, God, I've hit the wall. I've hit the wall in running this race of faith. I've hit the wall. Well, God says that even though you may be weary, he will cause you to mount up with wings as eagles. He will strengthen you. He will strengthen you. He will cause you to ride on the wind so that you're not tired from flapping your wings. You're going to soar on the Spirit. You're going to soar on the wind of the Holy Ghost. You're going to soar. You're going to soar, says the Lord. You're going to soar on the wind of my Spirit. For I am blowing, my spirit is blowing upon those whose heart is open before me and who are willing. And you will begin to cease the beating of your wings and you will begin to rest in soaring upon my Spirit. If you are willing, if you are willing. Father, thank you today for the work of your Spirit and the word you've spoken to us. Lord, we do not take it lightly. We do not take it lightly. God, today, in our generation, you have raised us up. And God, we want to be fruitful. We're going to respond. We're going to respond to you. We do respond, and we have responded to you today. God, do all your good pleasure, and may it be done unto us according to your word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've never asked Jesus to come into your heart to save you, to forgive you of your sins. The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. If that's you this morning, you say,